blind, baby. You're blind from the facts on who you are because you're watching that garbage.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we have a busy morning show for you this morning. We're going to hear stories from the Hudson River and stories from the Hudson Market. Last night, Thursday, June 29th, WGXC's Tom DiPietro wandered around the market and talked to all sorts of characters. We're going to hear his stories shortly. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news and after Jason Martin is singing this song on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Waves controlled.
Hi, I'm Brian from Olathe, Kansas, and you're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street. You belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Chris Anderson of Germantown, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts that a slow-moving low-pressure system will bring wet weather from the west for much of the early part of this week. It'll stay humid with occasional showers and thunderstorms and possibly locally heavy rain. Monday, there's an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and those thunderstorms could come after 1 p.m., with some of the storms could producing heavy rain and a high of 81. Monday night, there's a 60% chance of showers. Again, possibly a thunderstorm before 7 p.m. with a low around 65. On July the 4th, there's a 70% chance of rain with a high of 82. North wind around 6 miles per hour. Most of the time, the thunderstorms are going to happen after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny. Tuesday night, showers are likely. There's a 60% chance on July 4th evening, mainly before 8 p.m. Partly cloudy skies are forecast then, with a low around 65. Wednesday should be sunny with a high of 86 and a low around 66. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, July 3rd. We are 50.4% of the way through the year. There are 82 days left until the equinox. Hot summer has kicked off, which means the northern hemisphere is now fully charged. That energy will manifest as afternoon storms for us, more hurricanes and tornadoes for the south, and blistering heat from the Midwest to the West Coast. Local early morning temperatures range from 63 degrees in Tannersville to 70 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 69 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium and might come down a bit tomorrow. Smoke is drifting directly eastward, giving us a break today. We get a high of 81 at 4 p.m. Rain chances will be around all day, but highest after 4 p.m. Overnight, rain chances mostly go away and we see a low of 67, even though it will be muggy. Tomorrow, possibly stormy afternoon with a high of 83. Overnight, dips to 66 degrees, then Wednesday sees a high of 88. Thursday looks mostly dry and breaks 90 degrees. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:04 a.m., low tide at 10:13 a.m., high tide again at 3:40 p.m., and low tide once again at 10:10 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 74 degrees and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 8:21 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:21 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be average at 400 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 15 megahertz until dark, and then fair across the board with good conditions below 8 megahertz overnight. There are no chances of aurora tonight. The current sunspot number is 126. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Right even together. And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
You don't need much money to ride the silver train, just enough to keep yourself from sleeping in the rain. Satellites are chasing silver clouds away. Technicolor raindrops wash gumballs down the drain. Gonna leave the city, gonna hop a train tonight. Got a one-way ticket, the moon is shining bright. Gonna leave the city, gonna catch the Hudson line. Cause you know I love the city, but I haven't got the time. Chasing silver clouds away. Mercury's a falling, yet who forgot to pray? Silver trains will whistle, glisten by the moon. Molly has her kite, Joe has his balloons. Satellites are chasing silver clouds away. I'm stuck on the tracks, sleep away the day. Gonna leave the city, gonna hop a train tonight. Got a one-way ticket, moon is shining bright. Gonna leave the city, catch the Hudson line. Cause you know I love the city, but I haven't got the time.
Hudson Valley's Mercury Rev there from their 1998 classic album Deserter Songs. They are riding the Hudson line along the Hudson River on WGXC. And as you can hear, we are now joined by our friend Henry the Hudson Whale. Each week we tell Henry the Hudson Whale stories of the Hudson River and hear his reaction to the news about the Hudson River. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that the state legislature approved a bill to stop the dumping of radiological waste from the Indian Point Energy Center nuclear plant into the Hudson River as it goes through the decommissioning process. But Governor Kathy Hochul has not yet signaled her intentions to sign or veto the bill. A labor union that represents workers at the Westchester County site as well as the owner of Indian Point are about the only supporters of putting wastewater from the nuclear plant into the Hudson River. But some Republicans in Albany gave them some political cover. Republican Assemblyman Matt Slater said, quote, "There are still a lot of questions I know I have and a lot of my colleagues have about the need to impose this type of legislation. But now it goes to the governor's desk and we'll see what she'll do," unquote. You can read more about this story at New York State of Politics. That's what you think about radioactive water in the Hudson River, Henry? Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that anyone walking across the Rip Van Winkle Bridge recently have seen signs warning about aggressive female peregrine falcon that say, quote, "Caution, falcon is very aggressive today," unquote. There have been no human injuries reported, but the walkway was closed for several days after the bird harassed workers and walkers on the bridge between Catskill and Hudson. The bird is protecting four babies in a nest on the bridge. Larry Fetterman, president of the Northern Catskills Audubon Society and former education coordinator for three Audubon sanctuaries, said, quote, "The peregrines have been nesting under the roadway of the Rip Van Winkle Bridge for several years, usually near the Greene County end of the bridge. As on other bridges over the Hudson River, the Department of Environmental Conservation had installed a nest box platform to aid in the nesting. This year's protective behavior could be due to fledglings being in a different location, having wandered off of the nest platform," unquote. Peregrines are an endangered species in New York. Fetterman said once the babies leave the nest, the adult will leave humans alone. He said, quote, "Once the young have fledged, left the nesting site, the parents will remain in the area all year and use the Rip Van Winkle Bridge as the base of operations for hunting birds," unquote. You can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. A couple vacationing near Saratoga and Warren counties decided to take a dip in the Hudson River, and it didn't work out too well for them. Strong currents on the Hudson River in Corinth surprised the family vacationing from Long Island. Patricia Mercia, one of the couple, said, quote, "Don't take anything for granted. The water is extremely strong, and although it may look calm, the strength is there, and that's what happened to us. We had been in it, and we thought it was a calm lake. We did not know the current was that strong, and it took us. So I would say just always wear your life vest. Be aware of the water. Be aware of the wind. The wind played a huge factor that day," unquote. An off-duty Warren County Sheriff's deputy helped the couple out of the river. This has been this week's edition of Hudson River Stories with our friend Henry the Hudson Whale. Tune in each week with more stories about what's going on in the Hudson River on your creative community radio station, WGXC.
Cat Simon in the Times Union rounds up where the fireworks will be going off in the area for the July 4th holiday. Pets and anyone triggered by the sounds of large explosions may use this list to avoid fireworks this week. July 3rd at 9:15 p.m., Coxsackie's Independence Day celebration includes a farmer's market, food trucks, and live music from James Dykeman and Wild Blue earlier in the day at Riverside Park. July 4th at sunset, Reidbauer's Resort in Round Top has fireworks plus an Eagles tribute band already gone will also perform at Newsy's Bear Garden at the resort. July 4th at dusk, Cairo's 4th of July celebration at the park with children's activities during the day at Angelo Cana Park. July 5th at dusk, Catskills 4th of July celebration at Dutchman's Landing Park. July 6th at dusk, East Durham's July 4th parade and fireworks is 2 days after July 4th and starts with a parade at 11 a.m. on Route 145 at the Michael J. Quill Irish Cultural Center. And July 6th at dusk, Village of Tannersville 4th of July celebration shoots off fireworks at Rip Van Winkle Lake.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The average amount forgiven in the PPP, for the pandemic loan program, average amount forgiven was $70,000. Now, a kid making $60,000 trying to pay back his bills, asking for $10,000 in relief? Come on. The hypocrisy is stunning.
On Friday, President Joe Biden criticized Republicans for opposing student debt relief while having Paycheck Protection Program loans forgiven during the pandemic. Last week, the conservative-led Supreme Court agreed with Republican plaintiffs that the administration lacked the authority to wipe out up to $10,000 in student debt per borrower, $20,000 per Pell Grant recipient. With loan payment bills set to start coming due again after a pandemic pause, the administration is considering other ways to give borrowers a break. But Education Secretary Miguel Cardona said the high court ruled against 40 million working families and added that equity and access to higher education have been set back.
Today, the court substituted itself for Congress.
On Face the Nation, former vice president and 2024 Republican presidential hopeful Mike Pence endorsed another recent Supreme Court decision ending affirmative action in college admissions.
We're all going to be judged not on the color of our skin, but on the content of our character, and in this case, on our GPA.
Democratic Florida Representative Maxwell Frost told MSNBC he's incredibly disheartened by a blow the Supreme Court dealt to LGBTQ plus Americans. The court ruled free speech allowed a business to refuse service for a same-sex wedding, despite a state anti-discrimination law. Frost pointed out that the website developer at the center of the case was never actually asked to create a site for a gay wedding.
That decision was based on something that hasn't happened. It was based on a hypothetical that came from the mind of a bigoted lady who was in that case.
Over the weekend, 2024 Republican presidential hopeful Vivek Ramaswamy told a Philadelphia crowd his education policies would include ending the Department of Education.
I will not just reform that administrative state. That's in many ways a false promise. We will shut it down, starting with agencies that should not exist, like the U.S. Department of Education.
Ramaswamy pledged to redistribute its budget to charter and private schools and make it more difficult for public school teachers to join unions. Former President Donald Trump was also at the event and called for banning gender-affirming care at any age.
And I'll get this through Congress. I'll ask Congress to send a bill to my desk prohibiting child sexual mutilation in all 50 states. We're going to get that.
The Washington Post is reporting that Trump also pressured former Republican Arizona Governor Doug Ducey to overturn the 2020 election results in that state. Trump lost Arizona by fewer than 10,000 votes, less than one-third of 1%. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Democracy advocates rejoiced last week upon the U.S. Supreme Court's Moore v. Harper independent state legislature decision. But now that scholars have taken a closer look, there's reason to sleep with one eye open. The alternative was grim, a decision giving legislatures complete constitutional authority over election law with no court review or executive veto would have been a disaster for American democracy. but in an online roundtable of election law scholars hosted last week by UCLA Law's Safeguarding Democracy Project, there was a consensus that the decision left the door open for an independent state legislature light version. In the main opinion, Chief Justice Roberts confirmed that state courts do have a role in reviewing state election law for federal elections, but said, quote, state courts do not have free rein, unquote, to strike down election laws. Concurring separately, Justice Brett Kavanaugh pointed to Justice Rehnquist's decision in Bush v. Gore, which said the state's oversight of elections granted by the U.S. Constitution diminishes state judges' power to alter the general coherence of the legislative scheme. So while short-term disaster was averted, expect more nefarious cases during the 2024 election, probing just how much power the legislatures and courts have to decide when, where, and how you can vote, and whether that vote will count. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and Philip Grant up in Rensselaer County and I are bringing you the WGXC Congressional Report, full of stories about what the candidates and representatives from the New York 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts have been up to this past week. Go to WGXC.org in the WGXC newsroom for complete coverage of your congressional representative.
New York State of Politics reports that while one goal of a bill passed in Albany and awaiting Governor Kathy Hochul's signature is to save money on elections by consolidating voting dates, many current election dates will remain on the calendar. The bill would move most elections currently in odd-numbered years to even-numbered years when more people vote in congressional and presidential elections. But Onondaga County Democratic Elections Commissioner Dustin Charney points out that the legislature did not and could not move all of the odd-numbered elections to even-numbered years. Charney said, and I quote, any judicial race would not be affected. Supreme Court justices, town justices, and other kind of judicial race. Also, what will not be affected are any races that happen inside cities are protected by the Constitution, end quote. Jude Seymour, the Republican Elections Commissioner for the Jefferson County Board of Election, points out the ballot will now be much longer and defends staggered year voting, saying, and I quote, they protect against a wholesale change of government based on the whims that may not last until the next election. Alexander Hamilton and James Madison warned us centuries ago to protect against factions breaking apart our republic. I think putting all the elections in one year makes that harder to prevent, end quote. Charney admits that more people will vote in elections moved to even-numbered years, saying, and I quote, in even-numbered years since 2009, we averaged 63% turnout. In odd-numbered years, we averaged 32% turnout. That's a huge difference. That's double, end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that Representative Paul Tonko joined U.S. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona at Hudson Valley Community College in Rensselaer County on June 27th to discuss education. Tonko spoke about careers in science, engineering, technology, or mathematics for young people locally.
A great percentage of our population is under the age of 19, so we've got a ready audience.
Cardona, the education secretary, said, and I quote, we're going to make sure that we have students that are prepared to take on these high-skill, high-career jobs to make that possible, end quote. Labor Department Commissioner Roberta Reardon was also there and reminded the men, and I quote, don't leave women out of the workforce. Over 50% of the workers in this country are women, but they are underemployed or not employed at all, and we need them desperately. We need young women to know that they can be in the building trades. They can do chips, they can do anything they set their minds to, and they can certainly come here to Hudson Valley and get a great education. End quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Raga Justin reports in the Times Union that Representative Paul Tonko crowed about mainstreaming the Addiction Treatment Act on June 29th at the newspaper's office building in Albany. Part of what the bill does is expand the number of medical professionals who can prescribe a medication called buprenorphine from 130,000 to 1.8 million people. Buprenorphine is a drug that is now a little easier to prescribe to people struggling with opioid addiction. Tonko said, and I quote, "There is some progress afloat," end quote. The Albany County Congressional Representative also cited statistics from France, where they made access to the drugs that can help with opioid addiction easier. Overdose deaths declined nearly 80%, according to the National Institute of Health. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that Representative Mark Molinaro, the Republican representing the 19th Congressional District, wants the Government Accountability Office to conduct a comprehensive study on how the COVID-19 pandemic impacted educational outcomes for students with disabilities. Molinaro said, and I quote, "I'm the father of four children, one of whom is on the autism spectrum. During the pandemic, parents like myself saw learning loss in their children firsthand. While many academic studies have sought to understand the full scope of these educational setbacks, very little attention has been given to the education needs of students with disabilities," end quote. Molinaro explained that when school staff meet with parents of a child with a disability to develop an educational plan for the student, parents have the right to bring a third-party advocate, such as a therapist, lawyer, or knowledgeable family member. Molinaro is backing a bill to tell parents that. Molinaro's office said in a statement, and I quote, "Most parents are not aware of this right," end quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information.
Thank you.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Nick Reisman in New York State of Politics tracks reaction in New York to the Supreme Court's decision to strike down the use of race as a factor in college admissions. Governor Kathy Hochul said, and I quote, "We are very disappointed in this decision, not unexpected given the political composition of the Supreme Court today. But that being said, we go forth to ensure New York remains a place where we celebrate diversity, inclusion, and we're going to continue to subscribe to those principles regardless of the decisions made by the Supreme Court of the United States," end quote. New York Republican Chair Ed Cox, by contrast, was elated, saying, and I quote, "De facto race quotas at our nation's elite institutions have been a roadblock on the path to the American dream for many Americans, especially Asian Americans. Today's decision takes us a big step closer to an America in which citizens are judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character," end quote. And the New York Bar Association released a statement, and I quote, "Businesses, including law firms, are worried about the legitimacy of corporate diversity initiatives. This could also impact governmental programs that require quotas, such as minority business enterprise requirements," end quote. Bar Association President Richard Lewis said, and I quote, "We want to prepare our members, clients, and lawyers throughout the state and the nation for any eventuality," end quote. Read more about this story in New York State of Politics. Mid-Hudson News reports that Ulster County is getting new voting machines. The Ulster County Board of Elections will buy the machines from Hart Intercivic. The Board of Elections released a statement saying, and I quote, "Hart Intercivic stands out as an all-American-made voting solution with a forward-thinking vision to make our elections more accessible and accountable. The commitment to innovation, security, and voter satisfaction aligns seamlessly with the goals of maintaining the integrity and efficiency of the electoral process in Ulster County," end quote. And while Republicans across the country have denigrated the integrity of voting machines by several different companies, Republican Commissioner John Quigley is in favor of Hart Intercivic machines, saying, and I quote, "Their proven track record and dedication to producing cutting-edge voting solutions give us the confidence that we have made the right choice for the voters of Ulster County," end quote. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. The Daily Freeman reports that the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles unveiled on June 28 new Mid-Hudson regional license plates as part of a series of 10 special license plates depicting regions across the state. DMV Commissioner Mark J.F. Schroeder said, and I quote, "Every region of our state has something unique and interesting about it, and we are happy to celebrate that uniqueness by making these new license plates available for New York drivers. These also allow drivers to put their own unique touch on their vehicles and show pride for the place they live," end quote. There is an additional fee for custom plates, and New York is creating more than 200 custom plates for branches of the military and veterans, counties and regions of New York State, professions, causes, and sports teams. Custom plates can also be ordered by mail or by calling the agency's custom plate office at 518-402-4838. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
The New York State Legislature has passed the Tropical Deforestation Free Procurement Act. The legislation aims to hold companies contracting with New York State accountable for deforestation their products might create. This could range from how it is cultivated to the company's supply chain. an Accountability Framework Initiative / CDP report finds more than 200 companies surveyed identified almost $80 billion of forest-related risks. Marcus Sibley with the National Wildlife Federation says misinformation created a challenge to getting this bill passed.
Originally, when the bill was first enacted, there was inclusion of boreal forest. And this legislative session, we removed that language and it's only been tropical forest. We communicated that, but that information didn't exactly get to everyone.
He adds language has been clarified so people now understand the bill better. The measure had opposition from organizations comfortable with the status quo, but its supporters are hopeful Governor Kathy Hochul will sign it. The legislature also considered other supply chain improvements. Though not passed, the New York State Transparency in Supply Chains Act would have required companies to disclose efforts being taken to eradicate human trafficking in their supply chains. Sibley says more needs to be done to ensure New York remains a climate leader.
There are various environmental implications tied to what we're trying to address in this current bill. There's the climate implications on a national as well as international basis, but then there's also the impact of a climate change.
A timeline for implementation of this bill is still being worked out, but those working with the state must prepare. A University of Cambridge study finds 94 companies have adopted zero deforestation commitments, though most are not in practice. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're talking today with Pippa Bartolotti, who is with Bethlehem's Neighbors of Peace and the United National Anti-War Coalition. And Pippa and others on July 3rd are organizing a banner drop on the Hudson River Way pedestrian bridge in Albany as part of an international, day of solidarity, asking for Julian Assange to finally be released from prison. So Pippa, probably a lot of people know the name Julian Assange, but why is he such an important, First Amendment free speech media type of case?
Well, first of all, your listeners probably know that Julian Assange is associated with WikiLeaks, which he founded. And in his capacity as a journalist with WikiLeaks, he received information from Chelsea Manning, who at the time, I think, was Bradley. And he received the information, including the now notorious collateral murder tapes where innocent, unarmed people were being gunned down from a helicopter, from a US helicopter. Worse, the people who came to rescue them were also gunned down. He revealed this and a lot of other documentation revealing war crimes by the United States. And he published it. Now, he's a journalist, and being a journalist should not be a crime. But they're trying to make it into one as a deterrent. We are entitled to know the truth. We are entitled to know what our governments are doing, and especially when they're committing war crimes, because we want to be the deterrent. We want to stop the war crimes. We'd like to stop the wars, but at least we can try to stop something. But in Julian's case, he was going to be charged with spurious claims from Sweden about raping two women, who both dropped the charges quite soon after. But the idea was Sweden has an extradition treaty with the US, and the idea was to get him into Sweden and then extradite him from there. But Julian took cover in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, which was close to where he was working, and he unfortunately was never given a fair trial. He's never been charged with anything. When the Ecuadorian ruling party changed hands, he was rescinded his Ecuadorian passport and was dragged out of the embassy and put into Belmarsh prison, which is a notorious prison. So he was in the embassy for 7 years, living in one small room. And he's been 4 years in Belmarsh High Security Prison in the London area. Now, I don't really know how to say this, but for no reason at all, he was sentenced for 50 weeks in prison by a British judge in 2019. It is now 2023 and he is still there, still without charge. But the US is determined to have him extradited. And of course, in all these years, he's been round and round through all the different courts of justice and still no charge. So he faces 175 years in jail should he be extradited. And this is now becoming dangerously close.
Now, you mentioned earlier on that, you know, he released some of the documents from Chelsea Manning to show various United States military individuals and, of course, the government involved in various war crimes, particularly in Iraq. Has anybody been prosecuted criminally or anyway for the information that they had videos that shown these atrocities were taking place?
Well, Chelsea Manning did spend some years in jail, very unpleasant years, for leaking the information. But Julian, who published it, is the one who is actually facing the greater punishment. Because Chelsea,
but the individuals, and I assume primarily men, that literally are shown on video killing people, civilians, have they been prosecuted?
No, because the United States government hasn't admitted to making a war crime. It's very simple. They just don't admit to these things, even though it's in your face, as it were. So very sadly, no, none of them have been prosecuted. Because they were in a helicopter. We didn't see their faces. They know who they are. The United States government knows who they are, but we actually don't.
Now Julian Assange was and is a journalist. How has the media industry and other journalists, you know, rallied to his cause, particularly in the United States, which is, you know, the country that's most pursuing him?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. The mainstream media have absolutely not rallied to his case. They turned a blind eye. They're frightened. Publishing the truth is a very dangerous business these days. And the plight of Julian Assange is really set up as a deterrent. You know, you publish the truth and we'll be after you. We've had any amount of whistleblowers, all sorts of people who have done time or been demonized, assaulted, whatever, for telling the truth. I mean, if you go way back before the Iraq war, we had Scott Ritter saying there are no weapons of mass destruction. And he is still being demonized through agents of the state for having taken that truthful, honest position. So honesty isn't paying very well right now. You know, you one way or another are going to get into trouble for being too honest, especially if you are unfolding government crimes, which Julian has done and Scott has done and plenty others have done before them both. So for Julian anyway, I mean, it's his birthday on the July the 3rd, which is why we're doing this banner drop to raise awareness, because people are trying to pretend he's not there. But it's not that simple. His freedom, journalistic freedom, is essential to a functioning democracy. His freedom is all our freedoms. All of us who are truth seekers are actually living in some kind of fear that we will be next. So we must support Julian Assange. It's vital. And I cannot believe that the mainstream media have still not seen the point of this. We have lots of fringe media support. Of course we do, Chris Hedges, John Pilger. There's a lot of beautiful names who support him. But it's not enough. The mainstream media has to get real. And just
so, Pippa, on July 3rd, 4 p.m., Hudson River Way Pedestrian Bridge, a Pedanner drop in support of Julian Assange's birthday. How can people participate? Do you need people to participate?
Well, it's a very big banner. We just took delivery of it today. It's huge. So yes, we're inviting people to participate if they so wish, to help install it and to be part of the general activity and photographs around the thing. And let's face it, Julian has suffered long enough. We need to drop the charges. So part of this activity is to remind President Biden and Attorney General Garland that they should end their reckless assault on press freedom. And they can do that with the stroke of a pen. So on the 3rd of July, on the bridge, just a few days away, we're going to make as much noise as possible to remind them with this huge banner drop, which will be happening all across America and indeed the world.
And if people want to find out more about the Julian Assange situation, are there a good website they can visit?
Well, they can just Google it for a start. But there's also the Julian Assange Defense webpage,